Chapter 9. After 6 weeks of being stranded on the island, Montgomery found some empty notebooks for me to write a diary. It gave me something to do, and I started noting down the names of the plants on the island and learning which ones were safe to eat. Emling took me out into the wild and showed me where things grew so I could survive. Although Emling brought me food daily, I had to plan for the future in case they stopped giving me food. I also taught myself new skills since I wanted to escape the island but couldn't build a boat. I started experimenting with wood, and Montgomery taught me how to chop down a tree and cut the wood into smaller pieces. I made a new chair for my bedroom and some other minor things. Day by day, I learned more about life on the island. As time went by, my wish to escape grew stronger. I could not imagine being on this island for years of my life. If no boat came to rescue me, I had to escape by myself. Sometimes, I felt desperate to talk with another human. Dr. Moreau ignored me since I had killed the leopard man. I spoke with Montgomery and Emling, but the other beast folk didn't talk much. Some creatures, like the sloth child who followed me everywhere, were too stupid to talk. Others, like the bird man, did not trust me. I was lonely and wanted to escape. Dr. Moreau continued his work on the puma, and I began to understand how much effort it took to transform each creature. Despite the piercing screams of the animals during the process, I learned to ignore them since there was nothing I could do to help. At first, the sound of their agony affected me deeply, but eventually, I grew numb to it. One morning, I was sitting on a bench. As the sun rose, I could feel its warmth on my skin. Suddenly, there was a loud crash. It came from the laboratory. I stood up and waited to see what would happen next. The door burst open, but to my surprise, it wasn't Dr. Moreau who came out. Instead, it was the puma woman, the new beast. She looked half human and half puma, but her body was hideous. There were scars and cuts where Dr. Moreau had done his operations. The creature looked terrified. "Catch her!" came a cry from the laboratory. It was Dr. Moreau. He staggered out of the door. "Catch the puma!" I had no intention of helping Dr. Moreau, nor did I try to catch the puma. However, as she ran past me, she pushed me with great force, causing me to fall over and crash into a wooden bench. I felt a sharp pain in my arm from the impact. The puma escaped into the jungle while Dr. Moreau ran past me without offering any assistance. He rushed into the hut, leaving me alone. I heard him open the drawers. When he came out, he was holding the gun. Dr. Moreau ignored me as I cried for help, and he ran after the puma, holding the gun in his hand. A moment later, Montgomery and Emling came running over. "What happened?" Montgomery asked. I told him that the puma woman had escaped. She had broken my arm, and Dr. Moreau was chasing her. Montgomery gently helped me get up and sit on the bench. He looked at my arm. Emling went to fetch something. Upon returning, Emling brought a long piece of cloth, which Montgomery used to wrap my arm and put it in a sling. It would take weeks to heal and was very painful. I could not move it. We were in danger now, and I only had one good hand to rely on. Montgomery said he needed to check on the animals and took my other gun before going down the path to find Dr. Moreau. My arm hurt a lot. The sling made moving around easier, but I knew it would be weeks before my arm returned to normal. Dr. Moreau had taken one gun, and Montgomery had taken the other. I had no way to protect myself. I thought about finding Montgomery to help him, but I had no gun. With only one arm, I was useless. So, I stayed at the compound. A while later, Montgomery returned. Emling had prepared some food, but Montgomery didn't take it. He pushed past me and went to the cabinet with the bottles. He opened a bottle and poured some whiskey into a glass. He took a gulp, then another. Before long, the glass was empty, and he poured some more. "So you didn't find Dr. Moreau?" I asked, although I knew the answer. "No," he replied. What should we do? I asked him. Montgomery said nothing. He drank more whiskey. The air was tense as I considered what I should say next. Look, we have to find him. I don't agree with his work, I don't even like him, but we must find him. Without Dr. Moreau, who knows what will happen on this island? We're not safe. Come on, Montgomery, I said. I tried to pull him to his feet, but he wouldn't get up. Stop it, I said. I snatched the glass from his hand, and some of the whiskey spilled onto the floor. Hey, he said, and tried to take it back. Don't be like that drunken captain, I said, moving the glass away from him and putting it on the table. That made him realize what he was doing. You're right. Come on, Montgomery said. He handed me the gun that he had in his pocket. Let's go. As we left the hut, Emling joined us, and we went into the forest. Montgomery told us which way he had searched before. He showed us the path he thought Dr. Moreau and the puma had taken. There were broken branches on the trees and footprints in the mud. We followed the route but didn't see them. Dr. Moreau, where are you? I called out. I held the gun carefully in my good hand. As I ran, my bad arm hit my body. It was painful, but we had to hurry. After a while, we heard a noise coming from ahead. Maybe that's him? Montgomery said, pointing the way. We came to a clearing and found some of the beast folk. The monkey man, bird man, bear woman, sloth child, the hyena folk, some of the pig people, and other animals were standing together. We could see that they were frightened. What is it? What's wrong? I asked the monkey man as we approached. Dr. Moreau. Dr. Moreau, the monkey man said. Yes, where is he? I asked. The monkey man looked at his feet. Where's Dr. Moreau? Demanded Montgomery. The bird man lifted his head and looked me straight in the eye. He's dead. I've seen his body, the bird man said. No, no, no. No, 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 the pig man said, like a chant. Can't be dead. Not dead, said the monkey man. He shook his head violently. The doctor is dead. His body was all blood, said the bird man. Dead. Dead, whispered a hyena creature. I watched as the creatures reacted to the news. Some seemed not to believe it. Others looked relieved, perhaps even happy. I was worried. The beast folk knew that Dr. Moreau was the leader, the one to be feared. They behaved because they feared the House of Pain. If there was no House of Pain, the beast folk would rebel, and we would be in danger. Listen to me. Listen, you beasts. Dr. Moreau is not dead, I said clearly. Montgomery looked at me, wondering what I was doing. I saw the blood on the body. He is dead, the birdman said. No. It's not true. Listen to me. Dr. Moreau has left his body, but he is still alive. He has gone to the sky. Look, I said, pointing to the blue sky where some fluffy clouds drifted across. Dr. Moreau is up there in the sky. He watches you. He knows what you do. If you break the law, Dr. Moreau will see. He will take you to the House of Pain. Montgomery was slow to react, perhaps because of the whiskey. Eventually, he realized what I was doing. He understood that I wanted the creatures to fear Dr. Moreau still so we could survive. He nodded his head. Yes, Prendick is right. Dr. Moreau did not need that old body anymore. He is right there in the sky. You must obey Dr. Moreau. This is the law. Say it, he said. The sayer of the law, the birdman, did not look convinced. Montgomery repeated it. You must obey Dr. Moreau. This is the law, Montgomery said. The beast folk looked at the sayer of the law. Finally, the birdman said it, and the other animals copied it. That's right. You can't see Dr. Moreau now, but he watches you. We know what he wants to say. We will tell you. Now, where is his old body? Let us find his old, bloody body. He does not need it now, I said. The birdman pointed through the trees and said nothing. Montgomery and I pushed through the crowd and followed the path. It wasn't long until we saw it. Dr. Moreau and the puma both lay dead on the ground. Dr. Moreau was covered in blood. Dr. Moreau had used his gun to shoot the puma. They were both dead. I put the gun in my pocket. Some beast folk had followed us and stood open-mouthed, looking at the bodies. I cleared my throat. Monkey Man and Emling, help us to carry this old body back to the compound. We will have a ceremony to celebrate Dr. Moreau's new home in the sky, I said. Montgomery, Emling, and the Monkey Man lifted his body. It was limp in their arms. Blood ran down his arms and dripped from his fingers. His eyes were open, staring at nothing. They carried him quietly back to the compound. Whenever we passed an animal, I cheerfully told them that Dr. Moreau had a new home in the sky. Some of them nodded, others looked at us suspiciously. When we got back to the compound, we put Dr. Moreau's body in his laboratory. We heaped together all his materials and all the pieces of his experiments. In cages were some small animals which he had not cut yet. We set these animals free and piled everything else in the middle of the room. Then we set it on fire. We destroyed everything. All the evidence of his terrible work was destroyed. As evening arrived, the glow of the fire was still burning. Dr. Moreau's terrible experiments were finished.